Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
Yeah, you don't sound like it. How are we doing? Yeah. Yep. Well, Pastor Kathy's preaching today, and she loves your feedback, so be sure and give her a few hallelujahs and amens, right? No booze, she said. Me booze? This is Joy Church. Better watch what you're saying. Got a couple of things to remind you about that are coming up, even though Kathy took my list and stuck it as a placeholder for her Bible. We... have upcoming on Wednesday, we have our Gospel of John Bible study. That's every Wednesday night. It started, the first one was this past week. If you didn't make it this past week, we're not mad at you. We welcome you to come. Well, Kathy's a little bit mad at you, but I'm not. We would love for you to join us each week. We're going to be doing it through April. We realize that everybody can't be there every night, and that's fine. Come when you can. There's no homework. It's all kind of standalone, so you can catch right up, and we have a great time together. So that's Wednesday night at 6:30. Next Sunday, we have our annual chili cook-off. Yes, so bring your chili. I think you just have to bring it. No sign-ups or anything. Bring your crock pot of chili or however you want to bring it, and we will anonymously have it tested by everybody, and we'll have a winner of the golden spoon, and it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it each year, and immediately after that, we have our annual meeting, which is our kind of our business-type meeting that we have once a year. That's why we call it the annual meeting. We have it once a year, and we go over a lot of the financials and a lot of the good things that happened in 2024, and we're going to look ahead at 2025 and the things that we're expecting that God's doing through us in that. And finally, our Christmas offering, you remember that? Because it seemed like Christmas was like 2 years ago. Yes. Well, we have, we took a Christmas offering, and we want to thank you so much for participating and being a part of that, and to let you know that we did get $6,600 in our Christmas offering because of your generosity. Give yourself a bigger hand than that. Come on, that's great. And, those monies are all earmarked to go out the door to help neighbors in need, to help members in need, to help our missionaries, and just all the different things that we do outside of this building, different outreaches that we do. So thank you so much. Also, remember, you can give to the Impact Fund anytime throughout the year. Just designate either portion or your check, or you know, however much you want to put into that on your check, or if you do it through online giving, you can do that as well, or even text to give, you can do that as well. So we do that throughout the year. Kathy, come on up. Do you know that you're fortunate to have an amazing pastor in Pastor Kathy? She's smart. She's witty. Huh?
I said, aren't you nice?
She works hard.
I heard beautiful. Did you hear that?
Yes,
I heard beautiful.
Yes. That is true as well. And she loves you more than you could ever know. Prays for you,
truth.
Cares for you.
Truth.
Worries for you sometimes more than she should. But she's an amazing pastor.
Okay.
We're grateful and thankful for her.
Thanks.
So Lord Jesus, as Kathy preaches, we pray that you would give her a boldness, that you would give her courage, that God, that you would give us ears to hear all that you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So awesome to be here and see all of you. You're looking really good today. Did you know that? Yes, you too, Mike. I saw that. You too. Well, we're in the second week of a four-week series called I Am Jesus. We're looking at four of the I Am statements. He made seven different statements in the Gospel of John, teaching us about who he is. And a couple weeks ago, we introduced our theme for 2025, living as branches. Branches connected to the vine, which the vine is Jesus. And we start by understanding who is Jesus. And last week we found out that he's the resurrection and the life. And that the resurrection's not just an event, it's a person. And so today we're going to look at John 10, and specifically John 10, 11. So open up your Bibles if you have them, your Bible app. Your phone works great to follow along. Jesus said, John 10, 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." Who is Jesus? I am the good shepherd. Like Mike talked about, we're studying John here in our sermon series on Sundays, and then we're going deeper in our Bible study on Wednesday night. So I hope that you can make it. Like he said, doesn't have to be every week. Come when you can, jump right in. This week we talked about right from the very beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's this Word? Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word. And he's been here with God since the very beginning. And today we're talking about he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God is good. The gospel means good news. It's good news that Jesus, the good shepherd, was willing to die for us in our place. And that is something that we can get excited about. Like I said, it's okay to get excited in church. The fact that he said, "I'm the good shepherd," implies that there are others that are not good. And he doesn't just imply this, but in verse 1 of John chapter 10, here's what he said. He said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber." And he was talking about our spiritual enemy. And he follows that up in verse 2, talking about, "But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." So verse 1 is what Jesus is not. We do have an enemy. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's the prince of darkness. He hates God and he hates God's people. And his mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. We have to be able to admit that there is a power of evil in this world destroying a lot of things that matter to God. A lot of people are sick, right? A lot of families are falling apart. A lot of marriages are in trouble. A lot of kids are making bad decisions, young kids and older kids. And I believe that at the root of all of that is the thief and the robber. Jesus said very clearly here, this is the mission of our spiritual enemy. John 10:10, he said, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, though, is to give them a rich and a satisfying life." Jesus is the good shepherd. Who are we? We're the sheep. Other versions say that his desire is that you have life to the fullest. That's what he wants for you, and that's what he wants for me, a satisfying, full life, life to the absolute fullest. And he is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. So let's talk about sheep. Yeah, that's very good. This is the animal mentioned more than any other animals in Scripture. It's the most commonly mentioned animal. I think it's about 200 times in the Bible you'll find sheep. And I know some of you are already thinking, well, what about dogs and what about cats? Dogs are mentioned 44 times. Cats are mentioned exactly zero. Zero. Somebody said amen. I like cats. I like cats. Mike got me a jigsaw puzzle with cats on it for Christmas. And we had two cats while we were raising our kids that both lasted over 20 years. So I'm not hating on cats here. But we don't find cats mentioned in the Bible. Unless you want to talk about a lion, right? Who's part of the cat family. And the Bible says Satan roars around. Prowls around like a lion. So some people don't like cats. They say there's like the direct connection between Satan and cats, but I don't know. We are sheep, and unfortunately, that isn't great news. Sheep are some of the stupidest animals on planet Earth. Think about it. You can go to a circus. I don't know, does anybody go to a circus anymore? But I remember going as a kid. You see trained animals. You're never going to see a sheep. Never. Tigers, maybe. You can't train them. You can't train sheep. They're too stupid. One comedian said, the only way to make a sheep play dead is to shoot it. And that trick only works one time because then it's like game over. They're incredibly stupid animals. And it feels to me a little offensive to call ourselves sheep. So when I say that, know that I'm calling myself one too, not just all of you, but it's all of us. I'll say it with love the best that I can. You're stupid, and so am I. So when you leave here today, you won't remember anything except she called me stupid. Okay, here's four challenges of being a sheep other than just plain stupid. The first one is this: sheep get lost easily. I think I've mentioned before, or it actually was probably you, Mike, that mentioned whenever we go and stay at a hotel, when we come out of the door, I always go the wrong way. Always. Doesn't matter how many days we're there, I always turn and go the wrong way. And I'm quick and confident to say I'm going the right way. Like, I believe it, but I'm usually wrong almost always. You heard that, didn't you? I'm wrong. Good, I'm not alone. In the Old Testament, there's a verse in Isaiah 53 that says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've left God's paths to follow our own. And it's very common for a sheep to walk away from the shepherd's fenced-in area and say, I think I'll go this way. I think something over here might make me happy. I think this makes me happy. I don't know what to do. I can't seem to make a good decision. Sound familiar? The reality is that's where many of us are. We're really trying to find and to figure out this life that we're living. But sometimes we feel like we just seem to keep making bad decisions. And it's because sheep without a shepherd get lost. And they get lost very, very easily. The second thing is, this is kind of cool. Sheep are defenseless. It's interesting to me to learn about this because almost every animal has some form of defense, right? Even like cats we were talking about, they can claw your eyes out, or if they're declawed, you know, the vet told me our cats were declawed and they were outside all the time. Their teeth are their protection. Some animals, you know, they have fangs or they have horns. They can just go at you. Some can kick. Some can fly away. Some can just, what's the word I'm thinking about? They can be in the environment and just camouflage. That's what I wanted, camouflage. We've got skunks, right, that stink us out, and porcupines with their quills. Sheep can't do anything. Nothing. Nothing. They're defenseless. You attack a sheep, and what can they do? They just say, back off. Bad joke. Bad joke. They're Thank you. They're defenseless and on our own without the body of Christ, without the armor of God, Ephesians 6, right? The belt of truth. the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Without the protection of the Good Shepherd, we're vulnerable to the lies of the evil one. So many of us, as sheep, we're believing those lies, and we're living a life that leads to death and destruction, at least on the inside. Sheep are defenseless. Number three, I think I heard this at the beginning. Maybe it was you, Kim. Sheep are very stubborn. Very stubborn. Look at the person next to you and say, I think she's talking about you right now. It's me, for sure. Go ahead. Just say to the person, you're kind of sheep-like. You're stubborn. And I know some of you right now, you're not going to do it. And you're not going to do it because you are the stubborn one. You're like, she's telling me to do this. I am not doing it. I read this about sheep. I read when they, first of all, they walk between like two rocks. Dumb in the first place, right? But they get lodged in, and then they don't just back up. They're too stupid to just go beep, 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 and back up. They just keep going forward, and they lodge themselves in deeper and deeper and more stuck. How many of you know somebody like that right now? It's us. It is. I know I'm up in your business. Think about this. You have a friend and they say, oh, money is so tight right now. I'm so like broke. Do you want to meet me for dinner at, you know, the Red Blazer and we'll talk about it? Like, dumb. Or they have their Starbucks Venti, you know, triple mocha, extra whip, right there as they're telling you how broke they are. They don't want to change. And when I say they, we don't want to change. We're stupid. And that's what a lot of sheep are. Number four, sheep are filthy. And in your mind right now, you're probably thinking, oh, I just saw a sheep on TV and they look so nice and white and fluffy. Or I got my kids a stuffed animal and looks so good. Well, it's probably just power washed. They're filthy and they stink. If you were here last week, we talked about Lazarus, 4 days, stunketh. That's them. They don't have the ability to clean themselves, and they won't. Can you see it? And I'm going to say this very respectfully. That's the way we are in the eyes of God on our own. It's us. A lot of people say, well, I'm a good person. I said that about myself before I got saved, before I gave my life to Jesus. And I believe it. And I believed it back then, and I believe it today. I was a good person when you look at life in the natural. It's very difficult when we think that way for us to recognize our need for a Savior. Well, he's a good person, she's a good person. In the eyes of God, we're actually not good. In the eyes of a perfect God, we're dirty, filthy sinners falling way short of God's standards of perfection. And we have to recognize that to understand the bottom line is this: sheep need a shepherd, we need a Savior. We need Jesus, and without him, we're vulnerable to all these lies of the evil one. And that's why it's really, really good news when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So good that I would lay down my life for the sheep. Let's change direction a little bit here. Let's move from sheep and talk about the qualities of the good shepherd. And I pray that God would help connect these to our hearts and we can apply them in a way that will help us live every single day. What does the good shepherd do? What does he do? He guides. He guides. Everybody say, the good shepherd guides. Psalm 23, verse 3, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. In verse 3, he said, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord guides me. Do you ever find yourself making a big decision or you need to make a big decision, you just don't know what to do? When you seek the Lord, he will reveal himself to you and he will guide you. Verse 3 and 4 of John, back in John chapter 10, says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd and the sheep do what? So good, right? The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He, the good shepherd, calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. Why? Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. He guides them, and this is so powerful. The sheep know, they recognize the voice of the good shepherd. And some of us might say today, well, like, I don't know the voice of God. I mean, like, Kathy, you just, like, you heard, Kathy, this is God, I'm talking to you, you know, audibly. No, God can speak like that. I'm not saying he can't. That's not how I have heard God. God speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. Sometimes it's so strong when you're reading it, you're like, he's talking to me. I know what he's saying. He's talking to me. It feels audible. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through people. He can speak through prophetic messages. God can speak in all kinds of ways. And the sheep who belong to him, they know his voice. I was thinking about this, and I think there's one of two reasons why people say you don't hear his voice or you don't know when you hear his voice. So picture this. Imagine walking into a room with 50 women. They're all talking because that's what we do, right? We're all just talking. And we all understand each other. All at the same time, right? Come on, ladies, give me some feedback here. You walk into a room with 50 guys, and it's silent because they're watching the game. If you're married and you walk into a room of 50 women, again, that are all talking, can you recognize her voice? Can you recognize her voice? If you say, I can't pick my wife's voice out, well, I would say the reason is either you don't know her or you haven't spent enough time with her to know her voice. Mike, I know he could be blindfolded and find me by my voice. He not only knows me and spent a lot of time with me, but he spent a lot of time hearing this voice talk. So he knows exactly what it sounds like. He knows when it's groggy. He knows when it's hoarse. So if you don't recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, then possibly, maybe you never met him. Maybe you don't know him, or you haven't spent enough time with him to recognize his voice. Consider it. You haven't read his word. Maybe you haven't been consistently in church like today, like learning about who he is, knowing he's good, the good shepherd. And here's the really good news. The good news is our good shepherd, if you're one of his sheep, he calls you by name. He calls you by name. It's one of the most beautiful pictures to know that our God is that personal, that he's that relational, that he calls you by name. And when he calls you by name, it changes everything. Everything. It's one of the reasons we try really hard here at Joy Church. I know we mess it up a lot, but we try. We have a goal to know people by name. Sometimes, if you've been coming for a little while, people will say, you know, did you fill out a card? And you'll be like, oh, I don't want to give my information or whatever. But it helps us. So when we're like, okay, this, here's the face, here's the name. When I was in high school, I'll never forget this. So I was dating someone that was a couple years older than me. And they had already been in, our high school was 4 years, so 9th to 12th was a separate school. And I was playing basketball. It was my freshman year, I believe. And so they would have been a junior. And after the game, apparently I played a good game of basketball. And this person came up to me and they were like, oh, I was cheering for you. You did such a great job. I was yelling, go so-and-so's girlfriend. Go so-and-so's girlfriend. Because they didn't know my name. Well, I didn't like that at all. So I broke up with him. I wanted to be known for who I am, not I'm somebody's so-and-so. Our God is personal. And he wants to reveal himself to you, and he calls you by name. And if you have a difficult decision to make, should I take this job? Should I stay here? Should I be a part of Joy Church? Should we have more kids? Should we, you know, should I keep dating this person? Here's what I would say. This is what I try to do. I just tell God. I just tell him. I said, Jesus is the good shepherd. You said that. He's the guide. That's his job. My job is to follow. So you show me, and I'll follow. It takes all the pressure off. It puts all the pressure on him to reveal his will and his direction to us. You guide me, and I'll follow. Everybody say, he guides. The second thing the good shepherd does is he provides. He provides. Our God is a good God who provides. Back to Psalm 23, David said this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. I just love that picture. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. How often do we see sheep lying down? Some of you will probably be like, well, I don't really even see sheep very often. So good point. I get it. But when you do see sheep, very often they're not lying down. And the reason, three reasons that have to be in place before they lie down. I learned a lot about sheep while I was studying for this message. Why do sheep not lie down? The first thing is they have to be free from hunger. If they're fasting like some of us are doing right now during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, they're not going to lie down. They need to be well fed or they won't lie down. They're herd animals and they need to be free of friction with their other sheep friends. They have to be getting along with their buddies or they won't lie down. Interesting, huh? They have to feel safe or they won't take a rest. They're timid. They need to be free of predators and storms and weather, all that kind of stuff. They have to feel safe. But in the presence of the Good Shepherd who leads them to green pastures, they're full because they've been in his presence. And he breaks up fights between them. He helps them to get along. And he protects them from the predators and the storms. Some of us, we need to recognize we're in his presence. And we need the Good Shepherd to come into our home and help and bring some healing and some forgiveness in our relationships so that we can get along with our families, with our friends. And when the Good Shepherd is present, the sheep are not afraid because he is their defender. And so then they will actually rest and lie down. It goes on to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. Well, why quiet waters? Well, because if they're rushing water, sheep won't drink the rushing water. They might fall in and they'll be like cotton balls, right? And drown floating down the river. I know that picture in your mind. You can just see it. We can make a movie about that. The Good Shepherd leads them beside the right kind of water so they can drink. And who's the right kind of water? Jesus. He's the living water. Once we drink of him, we will never thirst again. He quenches that inward thirst so that we can be at rest. And then the Bible says, he refreshes my soul. He's such a good provider. He doesn't just provide for us materially. He doesn't just provide for our bodies. He provides for our souls. Yeah, hallelujah. And some of us right now, some of us, we have everything that we need on the outside. But inwardly, our souls are not at rest. You might be a sheep without a shepherd. Inwardly, we can be at peace. And here's an amazing thing. When you're a sheep under the care of the Good Shepherd, all hell can break loose in your life. You can be at a place where everything is going wrong, everything is crazy, everything is out of control. And yet you can have supernatural peace that transcends our ability to even understand. That is the presence of the Good Shepherd refreshing your soul. Your soul is at rest on the inside because you know that the Good Shepherd cares for you. He guides you. The Good Shepherd provides. Here's the third thing. He also corrects. Everybody say, my shepherd corrects. This might not be good news for you if you're a sheep that is wandering. It may not seem like good news to you right now, but it is good news because the shepherd loves you, the sheep, enough to correct you when you're wandering into danger. Job, he knew this well. Chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, he said, blessed is the one whom God corrects. Can you imagine if you're being corrected and you're like, oh, I'm so blessed. But that's how much God loves you. My God cares enough for me to actually keep me out of trouble. Job continues, blessed is the one whom God corrects. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. Sometimes At first, it seems like it's an odd thing for God to do, to actually wound and then bind up. I read, though, this article again about sheep. Some loving shepherds, what would they do for a little lamb that would continually just wander off? What was common for a little lamb to leave the flock where he's vulnerable, right, to the wolves or to falling off a cliff or just getting in trouble. And the loving good shepherd would take his rod, it's about a 2-foot rod, it's a weapon, really. And the loving shepherd, when the little lamb would keep wandering off, when he knew he was going to be eaten by a wolf soon, the loving shepherd would take the rod and would crack the little lamb's leg. Sounds very cruel, right? But what the good shepherd would do, he would take that little lamb and he would put him on his shoulder. He would take care of him. He would nurse him. And the good shepherd would keep that little lamb close to him. And the lamb would grow up and he would be totally dependent on this good shepherd. The little lamb would learn the shepherd's voice. The shepherd would pet him, would bring him to the greatest places. And over a lifetime, that little lamb would become almost like a pet to the shepherd because he's so cared for by the shepherd. He would never run off again because he learned the voice of the shepherd and to trust the shepherd. That's the discipline of God. Think about it this way too. When your kids are growing up, you're teaching them, right, about traffic. You're teaching them about wood stoves or anything that is dangerous. And so when they're headed towards those things, we don't have time to speak, right? We grab them. We yank them away. And we're not thinking, okay, DCYF is going to come in because I'm going to pull their arm out of the socket. We don't care. We don't care. We're protecting them from danger. And they cry and they tell us, you're so mean. I can't believe you did that to me, whatever, because they can't comprehend that we're doing something loving for them. Getting them quickly out of harm's way because we care for them. Maybe potentially protecting them from getting hit by a car or getting burned or even drowning. And so there might be a time when our good and our loving God lets us face the consequences of our own stupid decisions to keep us from making more stupid decisions that eventually could cost us more over time. As a parent of grown children now, I know how hard it is to let our kids, but they're adults, to let them suffer the consequences of their own stupid decisions, to not jump in and to rescue them. But we do it, even though we don't want them to feel it because we know that it's going to hurt. We do it because we want them to learn and we want them to grow, and it's because we love them. And for sure, nobody sits around and just goes, oh, I think God is disciplining me. This is going to be so good. Bring it on, right? Give it to me good this time, Lord. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. When I was raising teenagers, oh my goodness. Oh, and you do what you need to do. What you ground them, right? They weren't like, praise the Lord, Mom grounded me for the week. You know, they were mad. They were mad. They didn't say, oh, why don't you take my phone too? Right? Like it was hard. I'm so glad I'm out of that phase. And I pray for all of you that are right there, that are right there. Here's what Scripture says. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It hurts. It's painful. But later on, however, It produces a harvest of righteousness, a peace for those who have been trained by it. Our good shepherd, he's so loving that he loves us enough to correct us and to keep us out of further harm. So he guides, he provides, he corrects, and he protects. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 23. David said this, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because my good shepherd is with me. For you are with me. When he is with me, I have nothing to fear. When he is with me, I am at rest in my soul. When he is with me, I know he's working in all things to bring about good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hear, little sheep. I'm your good shepherd. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." What does that mean? Well, sheep, we said we're stinky, are stinky. It's so gross. Think about this. Ugh. Flies were everywhere, right? Flying around the sheep. And it wasn't uncommon for them to fly up the sheep's nose. They'd lay eggs and larvae would hatch. And some would do the right thing and go south, right? Come right back out the nose. But others would go north and they're all in the sheep's brain. And they would drive the sheep so crazy that they would just start banging their heads up against the wall. So much so that they would end up killing themselves. "You anoint my head with oil." It was like an insect repellent. The good shepherd says, "I'll even take care of what irritates you. That's how good I am. My cup overflows." There's a tradition in Old Testament Palestine homes where you're allowed to stay at the table and as a guest at the house of the host as long as they filled your cup back up with wine. As long as it was full, you were welcome in the house. So you had a lot of control over when people would have to leave your house. They couldn't just stay all night long if you didn't want them to. So as soon as you wanted them to leave, you just stopped filling up their cup. It's time to go home. It is a nice way. My cup overflows. In other words, I'm always welcome in the presence of the good shepherd. That's how good he is and how much he loves you and loves me. Verse 6 says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me, overtake me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He protects me, and that doesn't mean that you'll never fall upon physical harm. But it does mean, in spiritual terms, that he has stored up for you an inheritance that will never spoil, that will never fade, that will never perish. And the good shepherd is the one who would lay down his life for the sheep. Jocelyn, would you and the team come? Jesus told a parable and said this, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, because we just talked about they're prone to wander, what will that shepherd do? He'll leave the 99 to pursue the one. And there might be someone here that this whole message is just for you. Because you're the one. You're the one. You're the sheep that needs the shepherd, and he's coming for you. He loves you that much. If you feel like that, if you feel like this message is just for me, it's like God is speaking directly to me, God is speaking directly to you. You're the one. You are the one. You are the one he's coming for. It's you. The good shepherd is coming for you, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him because he's good. And there is that one that's not good. And that one that we talked about that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But our good shepherd came so that you can have a full and a satisfying life. He loved you so much that he would lay down his life so that you could know his love and you could have the freedom of following the good shepherd who is revealing the perfect love of our good God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Spirit today would speak to us, your church, in a way, Lord, that would transform our lives. Some here right now would say, I'm a sheep and I need the care of a shepherd. Some of us have decisions to make. We know you will guide us. We know if we seek you, you will reveal yourself to us. We need you as our guide. We all do. Some of you right now, you're feeling like you're empty. And he wants to be your provider. And maybe it's materially, or maybe it's spiritually, but maybe it's in your soul. Some of you, you recognize, I've done some things and I'm facing some stuff. And you might just sense and see this is actually the goodness and mercy of God who's disciplining you. Some of you, you're worried all the time. And you need to rest in the presence of the protection of the Good Shepherd. Say today, I really do believe God is speaking to me. I'm a sheep, and I want to be even more under the care of the Good Shepherd. Those of you who know you belong to him, you know that you've been changed, and you want to even experience him in a deeper way. The goodness of God through Jesus, who says, I am the Good Shepherd, who lays down my life for the sheep. If right now you would say, God is speaking to me, and I want to be even more intimately under the care of the Good Shepherd, would you just lift up your hand right now? Lift up your hand in this room if that's you. All over this place. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you the way your Spirit works. Thank you for the way you reveal yourself, and thank you for who Jesus is, the Good Shepherd. I pray, God, that you would guide, that you would provide, and God, yes, that you would correct and you would protect all of us. And I pray that we would be sheep that would know your voice and follow your lead and trust you and be at rest in our souls, because we are sheep that need you, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in our lives. And as we continue praying today, some of you in your spirit, you know you need to acknowledge, I'm kind of wandering. I'm looking for something that would fulfill the emptiness in my life. Maybe you feel like you've messed up. And some of you may think, okay, if Jesus is coming for me, I've done so many things wrong. How could he ever love someone like me? Jesus loves the sheep, and the sheep are sinful. He still loves the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. He loves us so much that he did for us what we were incapable of doing for ourselves. He became sin for us. He died. He was raised to life so that anyone, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how much you have doubted, anyone who calls on his name will be saved, and he will leave the 99 and go after the one. And some of you here in this room right now and watching online, you'd say, that is me. I'm so bold, I'm going to say it. I'm the one. I am the sheep, and I need the shepherd. But if you want to turn from your sins and call on him, he'll hear your prayer. He'll forgive your sins, and he will make you brand new. That's your prayer today. With all heads bowed and only me looking, would you just raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Raise your hand so I can see you. I see your hands. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. And at Joy Church, nobody ever prays alone here. So we're going to pray together, all of us together. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. Make me brand new. I believe Jesus died for me, and he rose again so I can live for you. Fill me with your spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for new life. Today I give you mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, church. He is a good shepherd. He loves you. He knows your name. And not only does he know your name, he's calling you by name today. He came to save you. You know we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. The very, very best is yet to come. Have an awesome Sunday and a great week. We'll see you next week. Don't forget your chili next Sunday after church. We'll have chili together in our annual meeting. Love you all.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.